Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I got this thorn in my side.
What a song, Jeff. What a pull. Get me moving. 11 a.m. on a Monday morning. Ba-ba-bam, bam, ba-bam, ba-bam. All right. Breaking down the Masters is our friend Ryan Ballingy from Golf News Net, local guy here in the D.C. area. Where do you play out of, Ryan? Are you an Argyle guy?
I am an Argyle guy.
Did you post the videos of Denny when they were going down the stretch from Argyle? Was that you? I know I saw those videos somewhere.
Yeah, it was me. We were playing a nine-hole match of makeup for our Tuesday night league, and we really just raced through just so we could get to the clubhouse and see if he could pull it off, and then...
The
you know,
video,
it was awesome
we're not
while
talk
he was
about
getting into
ended.
The playoff.
We don't have to talk about how it ended, but the videos of him creeping up and then getting into the playoff were awesome. I'm sure that bar was rocking.
Ryan, y'all got the toughest damn greens in the area over there.
Argyle's
Argyle,
a track, man.
I used to play over there with Donnie Simpson.
And I love the locker room into the bar vibe is elite over there.
Well, I appreciate it. We are a drinking club with a golf course.
That sounds about right. All right, let's talk about what we saw this weekend, yesterday, particularly with Scottie Scheffler. How impressed were you?
That's amazing. I mean, he's playing Tiger-level golf, just short of, like, Tiger's best level, like, Tiger 05, 06 level golf right now. And it's not even close compared to anybody else on the PGA Tour. It's just, he seems like an inevitable winner. I mean, he seemed like an inevitable winner at the start of the week. And, yeah, there were moments of doubt where, you know, parts of Saturday, parts of Sunday where he seemed nervous or just didn't have it all together. And then it just clicks in. And the eagle on 13 on Saturday, the stretch on 8 and 9 on Sunday, I mean, then 10 too. I mean, just effectively putting the tournament away, putting all the pressure on everybody else, letting everybody else wilt apart just like Tiger used to do, and then just strolling through the tape of the finish line.
But when you look at that course right there, and when you have to press at Augusta, it looks all pretty on TV. But isn't that just exactly what they want you doing down the stretch, pressing it because that works against you?
That's where they got you. That's where
exactly.
They got Colin Morikawa on 11. That's where they got Ludvig Ober. They got Max Homa with an unfortunate bounce on 12 because those are the holes you knew you had to do something. You're falling apart. You're falling way behind. And you know if you give Scottie Scheffler all the room in the world to go play 13 and 15, which are holes he can get to and two, then that's it. You've given up the golf tournament. And those guys made the mistakes. And Scheffler knew he didn't have to make any of those mistakes. He could just find the center of the green or just miss the green just a little bit, little chip and a putt, and he moves on.
He's Iceman, dude. No mistakes. Mm-hmm. Talking with Ryan Ballingy here from Golf News Net. You can follow Ryan at Ryan Ballingy, B-A-L-L-E-N-G-E-E. Or it's a lot easier just to follow Golf News Net because I don't have to spell that for you. dude, so we were having this debate, and I think there's like this premature rush to crown Scotty best since Tiger. I just think it diminishes Rory's run in like 2011, 2012, Spieth's run in 2015, kind of what Koepka has done. Like there have been a lot. There's been some greatness in the post-Tiger world. Where do you think Scotty ranks?
Yeah, you make a good point about all three of those guys. I mean, McIlroy went and just dominated for 4 years worth of majors, basically, and was incredible in all of them. Won two back-to-back. That doesn't happen too often. Brooks went back-to-back at a U.S. Open that hadn't been done in 30 years, and then does the same thing, basically, at the PGA Championship. And, I mean, he's incredible. He gets Spieth's three majors in a couple of years. Those were great, too. Scheffler in terms of major victories isn't in that cluster yet. I think you got to get to at least four to kind of start putting him in that McIlroy, Koepka company of the best of his generation type of thing. But it almost feels like it's inevitable at this point, whether he does it solely at the Masters, which is, of course, just perfect for his game, or he just goes and dominates Valhalla in a month from now as a tired newborn father and, you know, just goes and crushes the PGA Championship. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens at all. The last two times Valhalla has hosted the PGA, the world number one won. Well, guess who's the world number one? I think it's a little premature to start talking about him as someone who could win the Grand Slam. Like, those things are out there. That's insane. So let's stop thinking about that already. But the way that he plays golf makes it so easy to think he's going to win every time, because really all it comes down to is whether he makes the putts.
Yeah.
He didn't even have his best tee to green game at Augusta National, at least through most of the tournament. He was hovering around 28th on strokes gained on the approach for the week out of 89 players. Normally he's like first or second. He didn't even play his best golf, his own brand of golf, and still won by four. And that tells you how good he is against the tour right now.
Yeah.
And there really is no other person standing in his way. And that's the biggest problem for everybody else on the tour. There's no one standing there as a roadblock. He can just bowl through all of them.
And I think his swing, people will say, oh, don't swing like that. But the dude has perfected that thing.
It's crazy with the feet
his
moving.
His feet, it's like he's doing a Fred Astaire.
It is, dude. It's wild. Was the last Valhalla when Rory won in the sunset?
Dark.
Yeah, okay. And it was like him and Phil, wasn't it? Or who was it? Fowler, maybe?
It was Ricky and Phil were playing in front of him, and he distinctly said he got mad that they were having fun and yucking it up in front of him in the last couple of holes. So he wanted to stick it to him and then won the golf tournament.
I love that. That's great. You know, what'd you think of – I don't even think it's a real thing anymore, because the PGA has lost all kind of high ground, but you do have Greg Norman's dopey ass walking around in his giant hat. Like, did you make much of Liv PGA beef this week because they're all at the same place?
I don't think so. I mean, I think there is still animosity there. John Rahm kind of talked about it in Spanish to some reporters afterward, that some of the players he expected to kind of ghost him and not talk to him didn't, and some who he expected to be cordial weren't as nice, but that there was some, you know, iciness there. And then on the Champions Center on Tuesday night, Tom Watson wanted to get up toward the end, say a couple words, and said, basically, isn't it great we're all back together again? And then the room got awkwardly silent, and the whole thing was over. So I think it's still out there. You know, Greg Norman pulling the stunt of buying a ticket on the secondary market to show up was really weird, especially because it sounds like they're trying to make genuine progress between the PGA Tour and the Saudis to some kind of deal, whatever that is going to look like. And then at the same time, you've got Phil and John Rahm saying, well, you know, we might change our live events from 54 holes to 72 holes to get people to pay more attention. So you get all these mixed signals about who's where and who's what, and what progress has or hasn't been made. I really don't know where things stand, but it is kind of nice for 4 days to just go, okay, we're watching some golf here. Let's see who the best players are. Although I will say it was kind of interesting that Nance, as Scheffler was walking off 15 to 16 tee, went, the top five players on the leaderboard are all PGA Tour players, and then just kind of let it lay out for a second. So I still think there's a lot of fresh wounds there. They're not healed. They're not ready to be healed yet, and I don't know what's going to change that.
Well, dude, the other thing I noticed –
don't you think they just get rid of Greg Norman and everything and move faster?
It seems like it.
Yeah, 100%. If Greg Norman weren't around doing this dumb stuff, they probably have figured it out by now. I think half of this deals with Tiger and Rory just hating Greg Norman.
Well, dude, the other part – I don't know if you guys noticed this, and maybe it was just really to honor Nick Faldo, but it was yesterday, maybe it was just on the online coverage, I can't remember, but they did a thing on, you know, guys that have come back from the farthest deficits to win on Sunday morning, and some of them were like 100 years ago, like Gene Sarazen or whatever, but the biggest deficit overcome, I think, was Raymond Floyd, they said. But damn, if they didn't just show highlights of Greg Norman collapsing and Faldo winning. And maybe that was just happenstance. I don't know.
I love it.
But it sure seemed on purpose.
I've heard some chatter that I know Augusta National isn't particularly keen on Liv. They just play really nice. And they kind of go out of their way to avoid covering the Liv players unless they have to. So it wouldn't shock me if they went out of their way to kind of throw Greg Norman under the bus a little bit.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. What did you make of, I mean, really for most golf fans, like I knew him from the Ryder Cup last year, but that was kind of down the sheet, and I'm a bit of a golf dork. I think a lot of the U.S. learned the name Ludvig Åberg this weekend. What'd you think of him, man? That dude is a unit.
If he doesn't win, if he's not the guy that we're talking about as Scottie Scheffler's challenger in a year or two, I'd be shocked, because he is just a machine. I mean, he hits it so straight. He hits it 350, 360. He's having a good time. I mean, he seemed like he was having the best time ever yesterday. Even when it wasn't going right, he was still smiling. He's going to be one of those players that are, it's just that's the future of professional golf. A guy who hits it 350, hits it on the green, makes holes look easy, and just dominates golf tournaments. And everybody else can get the heck out of the way, because he is really, really that good. And he has been a professional for not even a year at this point. He was the first guy to get a PGA Tour card straight from college, because they started a program for it. He's already won the DP World Tour. He's already won the PGA Tour. He couldn't beat history. He couldn't win a Masters in his first appearance. But Valhalla lines up perfectly for his game. I know we talked about Scheffler. It's hard to beat. I would love to see a rematch of this in a month from now.
Yeah, sign me up for that.
Yeah, dude. Let me check. I'd love to check that out.
How do you go from Sweden to Texas Tech? Like, how did he end up at Tech? I found that interesting.
Yeah, I really don't know how you go from Sweden to Lubbock, Texas. But
scholarship.
Obviously. Right. But, like, if you had told me he was a Swedish dude that went to UT in Austin, like, I get that. Like, that's a big international city. I just don't see how he landed at Texas Tech. But
when people offer scholarships, you go where the offer is.
Sure, sure.
Texas wasn't offering.
I mean, when Rory McIlroy thought about playing college golf, he was going to go to East Tennessee State. He was going to be on water moccasin. So,
for real?
Stranger things have happened. Yeah.
A water moccasin.
What? Good for him. You brought him up there. Do you kind of feel like it's over for Rory? Over, he's still going to win tournaments, but the Grand Slam chase, like, he just doesn't. Whatever happened that one year where he snap hooked that thing into the cabins on 10, I just don't know that he's ever going to win in Augusta.
I think the worst thing that ever happened to him was winning the Open, the British Open in 2014, because that put him the Masters away from the career Grand Slam. Because at that point, he knows every year for the rest of his playing days, if I win this tournament, I have the career Grand Slam. And there are only half dozen guys who've done that. That makes him one of the best, certifiably one of the best players of all time. You can't take it away from him. And he knows that every time he shows up at Augusta National. And he plays like a guy who's afraid of it. And he fights it. And it makes him, it then sets him up to be disappointed. And then he goes and chases. And then that sends your whole year careening down a cliff. And by the time you recover, it's August. Hey, it's time to win the FedEx Cup again. So he can recover by the time, you know, major season is over. But then it's too late. And it really does put a cramp in what he can do for the rest of his career. I don't know what will get him over it. I don't know what will make him stop caring. Because as soon as you stop caring about something is when you get it. And I don't know what can convince him to just let it go. But he's tried everything. He's tried not practicing as hard. He's tried playing a lot of practice rounds. He's tried everything you can think of, mental tricks to get himself to just play the golf tournament like it were any other, and he can't do it.
He got to stop thinking. Because one thing about golf, if you start thinking about how well you have to play, you will not play well.
CBD gummies, man.
I'm telling you, man.
they're in Pinehurst, Valhalla, like you mentioned, for the PGA, Pinehurst for the U.S. Open, Troon for the British. Thinking of this through, who do you think, because Spieth's obviously on the doorstep of the career Grand Slam, Rory, mm-hmm. If Morikawa had won this weekend, he'd have three legs. If you had to project one dude to be the next Grand Slam winner, or even just to win multiple more majors, Scottie's the pretty obvious one. Who else? Like, do you still think, like, DJ, like one of these all-world talent types?
Yeah, what's up with DJ?
I was really surprised he played so poorly.
It was disappointing. I bet on him.
I mean, he had already won once on LIV, and he had said when he had won, you know, I'm really recommitting this year to being better. I kind of dogged it last year. You know, I'm going to try real hard. And then he just laid a total egg. I mean, I think that's – I don't know if that's a true thing with LIV guys, but it felt like Rahm came in kind of flat too. Just totally. Like, all right, you know, I've been playing three-round tournaments in shorts, like Faldo said. Yeah. Maybe there is something to that.
But the thing of it, you look at the PGA Tour, it's 4 days, and it's a damn grind.
Yeah.
LIV, 3 days, they're having a lot of fun. And you look at both of the tours, do you think that one is a little less, let's say, mentally tough than the other?
I mean, maybe. I mean, I think when you get in it, you know, you're still playing tournament golf. You're still playing for $4 million to win on LIV, even if nothing else matters.
Also
it's still
can
a lot of money.
Lose and make money because they got teams.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you sign those contracts ahead of time
money.
That are worth
yeah.
tons and tons of money. I mean, you're set. You're right. But then Bryson goes and shoots 65 to start the tournament, like he's got something to prove. And then, weirdly enough, as soon as it dawned on him that maybe I could do this, he wilted like immediately. So maybe there is something to that. I don't know. And I what I wonder is to the question you were going to ask JP about, you know, who could go win multiple majors. I think it comes down to your individual makeup. Brooks Koepka decided, I'm going to go prove the world wrong and go do this again. And that's why he won the PGA. And I still think he could win a Masters. He's gotten close so many times. It wasn't this year, but he's gotten close a lot of times. He could go and just go on one more little tear. But, you know, if you're a LIV guy, you're playing just kind of knock around friendly golf for a while. It's hard to kind of snap into place and go, okay, this actually means something. I haven't felt this way in a long time.
And see, Bryce,
hitting giggles.
I mean, but Koepka's mindset is a me against the world type deal. So that's naturally yep. who he is. A lot of these other guys can't just start thinking that way and be able to perform.
And Koepka couldn't care less about the regular events. He never cared about them on the PGA Tour.
Totally.
He doesn't care about them on LIV. He wins, he wins. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But he has a different mentality for the majors, and he has so far figured out a way to stick with that. If that changes, he's toast. But, you know, then advantage to all the PGA Tour guys for Infinity.
I did want to ask you about Vern Lundquist, who's a dude that I've always kind of loved. I guess that this was his last Masters, or?
Yeah.
And the picture of, have you seen the picture of Tiger shaking his hand, B?
Tell you who?
Vern Lundquist, where he's like hiding behind the
Why
tree.
Why is he behind a tree?
It's such a weird picture. But, I mean, Vern is just such a awesome part of golf and sports. I think you mentioned it on your Twitter feed. I saw.
Yeah, I mean, I turned 41 in 2 weeks. He has called the Masters my entire life, whether that's on 16 or some other hole. And the best Masters calls ever, yes sir, and in your life, are Vern Lundquist.
In your life.
I mean, how many times do you use either of those phrases out on the golf course?
Yeah.
They're Vern Lundquist. You don't, I mean, no offense to Jim Nance. He's got some good calls too at the Masters with like Phil's, is it his time kind of thing, but it's Vern Lundquist and that's going to be gone. And he was so, I mean, he was just so good at it because he reacted to what he saw and he wasn't trying to overplay it. He was just being a person. And I think that's the best way to do play by play. And it makes him really special. It made him so good on the SEC with CBS forever. You know, it was weird when Brad Nessler took over. And Brad Nessler's great, but he's not Vern Lundquist.
Man.
And that we won't get to hear those pipes anymore at 116 is going to be really strange and kind of sad.
Some people can just go from sport to sport, and they still make everything seem like they're not having any stress at
totally.
All.
Totally. All right, last thing for both of you. B, I want you on this too. The Masters does a lottery for the media, for media members that get to play on Monday after
wow.
the tournament, right? A woman by the name of Julia Westerman was one of many that won the lottery. So Julia Westerman gets to play Augusta today. It's the first round of golf in her life.
Oh, my Lord. She's about to... They going to tell her, ma'am, you have to leave.
Yeah, I mean...
After a certain amount of time, if she's never played golf in her life...
In her life.
Will she even be able to get off the tee?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, listen,
I don't think she finishes
we understand how hard it is to go somewhere and hit a ball, but all of the lore of Augusta.
Oh, my God.
And you got, like.
And it's in shape from the tournament.
It's tournament shape. Oh, man, come on. They shouldn't even. They should let her let someone else play that.
I mean, what do you think she's going to shoot, Ryan?
200? Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, and it'll be the best 200 she's ever shot because it's the only one she's ever had.
I mean,
I played in a pro, media day event for when the Rocket Mortgage used to be here. And I played with this person. We were at TPC Potomac. And she said she hadn't played golf in a long time. We got on the first tee. I was like, all right, well, cool. We'll have a good day. You know, we'll try to keep it easy. About five holes in, she drove the golf cart on the green.
Oh, my Lord. Well, you know, man, I played with some guys that played golf a lot, and they drove a golf cart straight into the lake. And then guess what? It was the second hole. They weren't even drunk yet.
Ryan, you got to text me whoever that was, just the name. We don't need to say it on air. Thank you for making time, dude. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That's our guy, Ryan Ballagy from Golf News Net.
You can't drive on green, lady.
Check out Golf News Net. They have a twice-weekly email that I enjoy. You know what else I enjoy? Working with people that are the best at their craft. And if you are looking to sell your home for outrageous sums of cash that are going on right now in the housing market, There's only one dude I would trust. His name is John Leahy.
Just like Jennifer. Jennifer enjoyed working with John Leahy and his team so much that she'd initially purchased a new construction home in Baltimore County. When it came time to sell it, a year and a half later, she reached out to them again. This time, Jennifer was overwhelmed with the process of having to relocate and over needing to sell it at a price which would allow her to purchase a new home out of state. John and his team were determined to help this wonderful client achieve her goals. They went above and beyond to sell her current property in only 7 weeks at the price Jennifer needed to complete her move both smoothly and stress-free. Give the Leahy team a chance to go above and beyond for you. How about a guaranteed offer on your home? Check out those details and more at johnsellsdmv.com. That's John, J-O-N, John without the H. That's the John Leahy. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. Go to johnsellsdmv.com and find out your home's value in mere seconds. It only take a few seconds to request an instant cash offer on your home at johnsellsdmv.com. And John knows that life happens, so he will let you out of your contract at any time.
Here's the other thing. If you want to cash in right now because the housing market is bananas, but you need to fix some things up, say you got to redo a bathroom or paint the whole house, talk to John. He can help you get your house ready to market by getting you up to $50,000 to make repairs and upgrades, which will make your home irresistible to buyers and in turn get you more money. You can then settle up with John on the back end at closing. Stuff like that makes a huge difference. Stuff like that is why I would trust John to sell my house. Call him today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
No time for talk. I was at least 15 years old when I found out this was a man singing. I'd heard the song forever. I just always thought it was a woman. Jeff, did you just find out this is a man singing?
No, this does not sound like a woman at all to me.
It doesn't.
It definitely sounds like a woman. You don't think it sounds like a woman?
No. When you talk like you talk, you can think it's a woman.
Toby, man or woman?
This is like definitely a man.
Sounds like a high-pitched man.
You guys are nuts. But I got good news. I got great news.
What's the good news?
Drab left his credit card here.
Oh, man.
And it's not even his. It's his wife's.
Oh, man, we really going to
spend some money on that. So everybody gets one thing. We'll order it on Amazon. Now, let's be fair, under $50.
All right, cool. Let's do that.
Drab?
You think we'll make him come back to work?
Drab, if you're listening, you're welcome to call in.
Yeah.
You have the hotline number. We'll take you right away.
And your wife acts with a car and you can't hand it to her, you might get beat up.
Yeah. And
isn't he like going on vacation? He's not going to be here the rest of the week.
Oh, for real? So he actually needs this.
He needs to hurry up and get back. How do you leave your wife's credit card at work?
Yeah. Call Drab and get him on the air.
Call him and get him on the air right now.
Yeah, call Drab.
Yeah, that's how we're going to do this.
CK did send an email. Is Drab going on vacation and left his credit card before the vacation? Hold on. Let's see what CK's email says. Drab is off starting Tuesday.
Well,
Mullins is off all week.
Well, Drab is not off right now. You better get back home. Get back here to work and be on.
Now, where do you live, Toby? You live out in VA, right?
Yeah, Herndon area.
VA.
He's in Herndon. Drab's out in Aldi, right?
That's close to my house.
Okay, maybe you take it home.
I can meet him somewhere.
Here's what else I got to tell you.
There's a fee for that, though.
Oh, it's a fee for it.
There's a fee for
sure. A Mitch and Finley fine fee.
Yeah, well, I would also add, Drab pretends to not be a baller, but he drives a BMW. And, yo, I don't know that this audio will pick up. I'm going to try something here. This is me dropping this fancy credit card.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
It sounds plastic, but it looks metal.
Feel it. It's made of metal. Any metal credit card, kind of fancy. It's like an X-Man. Yeah. Like, it's like half plastic, half metal. I don't know what it is. Drab, we have your credit card. If you're going on vacation.
Anybody got his number?
I think Toby's trying to call him right now. This seems like it's going to be a problem for you, buddy. And shout out to.
Well, it's going to be a problem when his wife finds out he left her credit card.
Yeah, I imagine somebody will be upset. So we're trying to help. Now, we are going to order some stuff on Amazon just as a way to speed up the process. Because maybe if we order some stuff on Amazon, Jeff, he'll get an alert to his phone, or his wife will get an alert to his phone that they're ordering something. So
you know what I'm going to do?
We're trying to help them.
I'm going to bow out of that ordering something on his credit card because that people normally get handcuffed.
Yeah, you saying that on the air like... are you not about to commit a crime?
No. Well, certainly not. We're trying to alert Drab. We just tried to call him. Right, Toby? You tried to call him?
Didn't pick up.
He didn't pick up. So if we order something on the credit card, maybe they'll get an alert to their phone. Don't you think? What else could we do here?
Call him on the phone and tell him we
called him. We just called him.
And he didn't answer? You know what? He's probably looking for the credit card.
Yo, because the other thing when Drab was, I'm sure you know who Drab is, but Drab is the producer for the Junks in the morning. And like, he's like the number two cluster buster. He's like kind of your guy's boss, right? Jeff and Toby?
Yeah.
So Drab's a big deal, okay? Drab's a really big deal. He drives a BMW and has
half
metal, half plastic credit card.
I am also forgetful
as hell, so like, I'm not knocking him for it, but he was also walking around trying to find his keys or something, right?
He probably was trying to find
it. How was he looking for something and did not see that?
He was snooping around looking for keys and somehow left the credit card. Now, to his credit, it is a gray credit card. This little ledge over here is gray. I didn't notice it until about 45 minutes
ago. Toby, we're not going to make up no excuses.
Yeah, because who walks around with just a credit card?
First of all, why your credit card is just sitting there, not in your wallet?
Yeah. That's also valid.
Well, it's not his, though. It's his wife. It's his wife.
That's true.
So what is she going to say when he said, baby, I can't find your credit card?
She's not going to be happy. Do you guys know where's Drab going?
Give
is he going on vacation or is he just
then,
chilling?
Drabby?
Is it possible that Drab is already on his way somewhere?
No, he was here earlier.
No, I'm not. Like, he's obviously left the building. I'm saying, like, is it possible he didn't answer because he's on a plane or something? Usually Drab is here till like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. He was gone by like 9:30. No, this show's over at 10. 10:30, rather. Sorry.
He's not on a plane yet, but he might be headed there. I don't know.
I hope he wasn't going straight to the airport because this is not good. But you know what? If he's at National, I'll take the credit card to him. I'll be right back.
If he's at National, sure. If he's at Dulles, which is where he lives.
I'll take that to him, too.
But if I, like, the flight he's, no, you're not. But the flight he gets on.
How you going to say, no, I'm not, when you off every other 5 days?
I think we need to address something with Jim Andrew Mullins VIII, a.k.a. Landini.
How the hell are you going to take off, Landfill?
I think it's rather audacious for Landfill to take a vacation. Nobody on this program takes vacation. We are very, very committed to being here. We're like the post office around here. Rain, sleet, snow.
Hey, stop. We don't believe in lying on air. And you're lying right now.
Drab, we have your credit card. Sarah, we have your credit card. Good luck wherever you may be. We tried to call you. I'll shoot Drab a text in the break and let him know I'm going to responsibly. You know what I need, Jeff? I'm running out of nose spray, Flucatazone, and it's allergy season. So Drab might be buying me a 5-pack of Flucatazone off Amazon. Thanks.
That's all JP, officer.
Thanks in advance, Drabby. You know what else I know? The weather this time of year is nuts. It's cold as hell. It's windy as hell. Then it's 85 and beautiful. You got to be ready no matter what the temperature is with a $99 heating and cooling check from the 5-star experts at Crop Metcalf. Seriously, this past weekend, I think we had the heat on one night and then the air conditioning on. It's wild. That's right. For just $99, a Crop Metcalf 5-star technician will check both your home's heating and cooling system and assure peace of mind today, no matter what the weather brings tomorrow. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals. When we return, Toby gives us a Nats update. We're playing decent baseball. Nobody go anywhere. We're back. A few things. We've reached Drab.
Yeah.
We're still a hater.
I'm cool if Toby just takes it to him, but I don't know. I'll let the world figure that out. Apparently, Drab is already headed back to pick up the credit
card. He's talking to Toby right now.
Okay.
Actually, I'm holding a credit card because JP would lose it.
Yeah,
if he lost the ball.
We did clarify that. I was holding the credit card, and then I said, man, I shouldn't hold this in case I lose it. So I gave it to Brian, who's very responsible. Then I went out in the hallway. Jeff has this, it's like a fake baseball. It was kind of fun. I gave it a rip, hit like a line drive single, and promptly lost the ball. So it was a good reminder that I should not be holding the credit card.
There you go.
What kind of, I don't know how to describe that ball. It didn't have the weight of a baseball, but it had the shape and like a little bit of the feel of a baseball.
Yeah, Toby, he bought that in, and it
I
was actually
it.
Cool.
Yeah, I bought it because Vic and I like pitch all the time in here.
And you lost it already.
No, I got it. We got it.
Toby found it. Okay, where was it?
It went down the hallway.
Okay.
It bounced off a wall somewhere.
All right. Yeah. There we go. What's the deal with Drab?
I offered to drive the car to him. He said no. He said they're just going to figure things out. So hopefully it works out for him.
All right. We've also learned.
You say he's all the way coming?
I think he's just going to make it work, and he'll get it when he comes back.
We've also learned Drab is going to Spain.
That is not – I'm not going to hold this car that long.
Well, I mean, we can sit in his office and then hope
is
no one takes
it. Is his office open?
His office is usually open, but I don't know that we should say that on the radio when we're about to go hide his credit card in there.
Yeah.
Some news here. The Eagles have worked out a contract extension with Devontae Smith. The Eagles, I don't know what happened in the second half of last year. I don't know that Sirianni's the right guy, but organizationally, they're run really well. That's a really smart signing. We can get into that when Mitch joins us in a minute. I did want to do a little baseball. Where are we at with the Nats, Tobe?
I mean, disappointing series in Oakland. You know, you had...
Oakland sucks, right?
Yeah, game one of the series, you go
Every
to extra
JP
innings.
Said team sucks. They always happen to beat us.
Game one of the series, Accurate. You go to extra innings. You got the ghost runner on second, and Trey Lipscomb just doesn't make a good decision. Ends up into a double play, and they end up losing in extras game one. Mackenzie Gore was awesome in game two, 11 strikeouts in 5 innings.
Damn.
So he was awesome in game two.
5, damn.
Yeah. And so they end up winning game two, and then game three, they're up 6-1 in the 6th inning. You feel good. They send Trevor Williams back out there. He gets a couple guys on. They end up pulling him, putting in Derek Law, and he ends up giving a bunch of runs up, and Jordan Weems comes in and ends up being a 6th-run 6th inning. So it was a disappointing series against the A's. Even though they played decent, it's still one of those things where I would think that the Nationals are better than the A's, but I don't know.
Kerwin sent me this for the NBC4 sportscast last night. He wrote, "You've heard of the 7th inning stretch. The Nats just had the 6th inning of doom."
It's true.
Back just a few years back, they tried to get pitchers into the 7th. Now it's like the 5th is when they start taking people out. Is that some new thing that they're doing now? Because it's every game.
Well,
and it's not just Nets. It's like most games, when a guy gets to the 5th, they're pulling them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new thing. Analytics, you know, the new thing is you don't want them to face the order a third time. That's kind of the analytical thing. just about every single starter, even the elite ones, when you start facing a lineup for the third time, their numbers, you know, aren't nearly as good. But it's kind of tough when you're the Nationals and the bullpen's been taxed already just because of the amount of innings they've had to pitch because, like you said, B-Mitch, these guys are getting pulled in the fifth and sixth inning.
Yeah.
And you had a guy in Trevor Williams who's been basically the best starter for the Nationals this year through his first couple of starts.
Which nobody would have expected.
No, not at all. And he had a couple of runners on base. Like, I forget who it was. I think it was J.J. Blade just barely missed a home run in the sixth, though. Maybe you can say that they should have pulled him, but he was also only at 74 pitches. So he could have stayed out there and tried to finish that inning, especially looking at what the Nationals got tonight. You know, three-game series against the Dodgers, a guy making his major league debut. So even him, like his only start in AAA this year, he went four innings. So you're probably going to be turning to the bullpen pretty early today anyway. So I don't know. It's a tough stretch here for the Nats.
Yeah, but I understand analytics. But I think right now what people are doing, there are some people out there, some pitchers, who can probably do it till the seventh and still be good. And also you learn how to think a game then if you're pitching a little longer. By automatically pulling the guy on the fifth, do you make him a better or a little less better player?
Yeah, I mean, you're not making them have to learn how to pitch, right? I mean, this is something where this is why starters need to have three and four pitches because you've got to be able to, you know, usually at the first time through, you're going to throw two pitches and try and get through, and then you add in another pitch, and then you add in another pitch. I mean, that's kind of the next step for Mackenzie Gore is, you know, like we talked about, 11 strikeouts in five innings is awesome. You need him to get through seven, right? You need him to give a little length. And so the Nationals haven't had anybody give them length. And really, B-Mitch, the only thing, to your point, they don't have a whole lot of guys that they're trying to develop. It's really, you know, Irvin, I think you kind of expect him to be a five or six and dive kind of guy. He's a fifth starter. Mackenzie Gore, they want to be an ace. So they've tried that a little bit this year. Like his first outing of the year, I think it was through five innings, he'd thrown 94 pitches, and then Davey Martinez sent him back out there, which I like. I think that's what you need when you're trying to be an ace. And yeah. JoJo's the other guy. But like, Corbin, I'm sorry, dude. You should be throwing 100 pitches every time out. Like, we need you to get some length. Same thing with Trevor Williams. You need length.
Yeah, I understand the new rules and all, and like how they're trying to do everything by analytics, but you're not allowing some guys who are super athletes to be that.
Well, dude, and it's like everybody's up in arms about guys blowing out their elbows. Well, the constant search for velocity is going to lead to that. Let's try to be upbeat here. What's the best stories, you know, through whatever we're at, 20 games, 18 games with the Nats right now? Is it Gore? It might be Abrams.
Yeah, I think those two guys.
Kid Jesse Winker seems to be hitting.
Winker has been fantastic. This is a guy.
Do we expect that to continue?
I think he's been a good player throughout his career. Last year he was awful, but he was coming off of an injury, played in Milwaukee, and was just kind of a shell of himself. This year he's played really good defense. He's hit the ball really well. So I don't know that
it's
going to
be nobody cares about batting average, but he's hitting like 330, 340, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's been one of the best Nationals players this year. So, I mean, this is something where I think they tried with Eddie Rosario and Jesse Winker, two left-handed bats that play in the outfield. I think they were bringing those two guys in, hoping one of them hits. So far, it's been Jesse Winker, and maybe they end up trading him at the deadline, and that opens up a spot for a James Wood or a Dylan Cruz down the line. So I think he's been really good, but I think going
Winker
back—
Winker hit 30. I just looked it up. He hit 300 for the Reds a couple years ago and made an all-star team.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's got a little bit of power. Like, he's never going to be, you know, a huge salary guy, but he's someone that can hit for a little bit. So I liked that move. But I think the big thing so far, JP, has been Gore's been fantastic. You've seen that next step. You still need to see just a little bit more. But, you know, he's looking like an ace when he's on the mound. But CJ Abrams looks like a superstar. Just the confidence that he's playing with this year, even defensively, some of the plays that he's making. He turned a double play the other day where I think it was yesterday where he gets a ball from Vargas that's a little bit slow and he's ready and just rips one across to first base to turn two. And we didn't see a whole lot of that last year. He just wasn't confident with his arm. He wasn't very accurate, so he's kind of bouncing throws over there. And at the plate, you're seeing some of that swag. He's already got three home runs this year, and we haven't even seen him steal a lot of bags, which we expect a lot of. He stole three in one game, and I don't think he's stolen a bag since. So I think you're just seeing the ascension of C.J. Abrams, because part of the reason why it's taken him a bit is he was rushed to the majors by the Padres. And so in reality, a lot of the at-bats that he's been getting the last couple of years should have been in Double-A and Triple-A, but he got rushed because Tatis got hurt, and so he was already in the majors, so he was just going to learn at the major league level.
Right. I do wish Lanfield was here for this. Lanfield was not thrilled by the Joey Gallo signing, of which they deferred.
They deferred
a one-year, $5 million,
$5 million deal.
But, and I understand Gallo was brought here to be a power hitter. Like, I get it. But Joey Gallo is currently hitting 140, Brian.
140? What was he hitting before we signed him?
I think he was sub-200 last year. That's what Lanfield was not thrilled about.
That's what he's paid to do. Hit a home run or strike out.
He's been kind of what they expected, but he's been better defensively at first base, I think, than they expected.
My Orioles, little scuffling here. What?
I think they're going to be all right. I mean, Jackson Holliday, he's not going to go 0-for series like he has for the first couple games of his career. I mean, Colton Cowser's tearing the cover off the baseball.
They're 9-6. They're 3 games over .500. It's just the Yanks are kind of, at least early on, better than I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Yankees are probably going to come back down to the pack. Soto's been on fire.
Don't say that. Jeff might throw something at you.
Jeff is a Yankee fan. Of course he is. All right, Toby, good baseball review right there. Mitch Tischler joins us next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.